chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8, the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer. And every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. He shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So I've entitled it, Neither Do They Seek the Lord, from verse 13. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to change us, to grow us, to convict us, whatever the needs might be. We pray the Holy Spirit would use the word, that each of us would be willing to listen and open our hearts to what you have for us tonight. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. Your word has so much power that it can do just that. We believe that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So grow our faith tonight. Meet with us. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So, as you will often find, promises and warnings in the same chapter in the prophets. And we find that here in chapter 9. We have these beautiful prophecies about the coming kingdom, there in verses 6 and 7. And then God turns right back to warning Israel that those are in the future, but as of right now, if they don't change their ways, they're going to face more and more chastisement. And of course, it came to pass. These prophecies were given around 100 years before the exile, where they were taken captive, and they went into a very dark time. But the main reason for all of that, as the Lord kept saying, that his anger wasn't satisfied. He said that three times, you probably noticed in the passage. Verse 12, for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he says that there at the end of the chapter, verse 21. What was the problem? Well, the problem was that the people, as we see there in verse 13, the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them. And so God continued to smite them, chastise them, and they didn't respond the way they needed to. They responded with more rebellion, with more going away from God instead of closer to God. And that's why his anger wasn't turned away. His anger resulted in chastisement. Chastisement should have resulted in changed behavior. And it didn't. And we as God's children need to be careful in this area as well. When God speaks, we need to listen. Because he's going to speak louder the next time. And that's what happened. Verse 13, they turneth not unto him that smiteth them. If you would look in Jeremiah chapter 5, he says it in an interesting way here in Jeremiah. Chapter 5, notice verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. There's a passage in the New Testament that's quoted over and over again from the Old Testament. It says, harden not your heart. Or hardeneth not your heart. And it's constantly referring back to Israel. And they had hardened their heart to the point that when the chastisement came, it made them harder rather than softer. And that is what God was so angry about in this passage. That you saw their attitude. For example, verse 10, the bricks are falling down. We see, Lord, that you did this. We see that you knocked this building down. But we're just going to build it up with crummier bricks. And we see that the sycamores are cut down. We're just going to change them into cedars. We're not going to listen. We see what you're doing. We see that you send adversaries our way, as we see them in verses 11 and 12, the Syrians, the Philistines. But they refuse to respond to the chastisement of the Lord. And part of the problem was, verse 16, the leaders of this people caused them to err. The leaders caused them to err. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But the main issue, verse 13, neither do they seek the Lord. That is one of our missions from the day we're saved until the day we leave this earth, is to seek the Lord. Not for salvation. We've already done that. But we need to be seeking the Lord every day. Seeking to get closer to Him. Seeking to know Him. Seeking to know His will. Seeking to know His Word better. We need to be pursuing after God. And they weren't doing that. They had His Word. They had His prophets. And they wouldn't seek the Lord. And then notice, if you would, Isaiah 55, where again we're reminded about the importance of seeking the Lord. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Another warning, but also another promise. Notice Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We serve a God that's merciful. We serve a God that pardons. Praise God. If that weren't the case, we'd all be going to hell. But did you notice in verse 6, he says, while he may be found. Now, Israel are God's special chosen people. And no matter what, their promises are going to come true. But that isn't necessarily true for the unsaved in the world today, the unsaved Gentiles. They get opportunities to hear the gospel, and if they continue to reject those opportunities, there comes a time when I believe it's done. And God mentions that. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now this is from an unsaved perspective. We'll talk about Christians here in a moment. We're talking about seeking the Lord. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now this is specifically, doctrinally, talking about the coming tribulation. But notice what happens here. Verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2. and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look at the next verse. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Makes you thankful to be saved, amen? God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Who are these people? These people who continually reject the gospel. Now, from a Christian perspective, God is constantly speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, even through others. And, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But when God brings things into our lives to say, you're not seeking me like you should, I need you to seek me more than you are, what we do with that determines what happens next. And that's what God was saying to Israel. We can say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I need to pursue you. I need to seek you. Or we can say, not today. My life is busy, or I've got this going on, or I've got this sin that I don't want to deal with, or whatever. All we're doing is asking for it to be harder. And that's what God was saying. It's just going to get harder for Israel. So go to Jeremiah 29, if you would, this time, verse 13. And again, what does God want? He wants us to seek Him. There's going to be times in our lives, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how spiritual we think we are, there's going to be times in our lives when we drift away from God and God has to spank us. The Bible says, if you're without chastisement, you're not one of His. So that's a fact. And from Hebrews 12. It's going to happen. Because we're sinners, we're weak, we make mistakes. It's going to happen. But when it does, notice Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When it does happen, that's when we have a choice to make. Now, if you would go to Psalm 119, I want to show you an example from David's life. David, a spiritual man, a man that loved God, a man that God blessed mightily, gave amazing promises to, but he was a sinner just like the rest of us. We all know what happened with Bathsheba and with her husband Uriah. He committed murder, he committed adultery, and God chastised him, took his child as punishment. Now at that moment, David had a choice to make, didn't he? Am I going to seek God, or I'm going to get mad at God and try to go the other way? And praise God, he made the right choice. Notice verse 67. I didn't tell you where to go, did I? And it's a really long chapter. Psalm 119, verse 67. David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. You see what he's saying? He's essentially saying, thank you, Lord, for the affliction because I was drifting away. Look at verse 75, just on down, same chapter. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. David sought the Lord. What's exciting about it is we can actually read about it because God recorded it in the Psalms. David seeking the Lord. How many Psalms bless our hearts? And how many of them were written by David? How many of them are his actual prayers where he sought the Lord? Israel was not. As God said there in our passage, Isaiah 9:13, the people turn not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord. Now, part of the problem, if you go on down to verse 16 of our passage, it says, the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Part of the reason why so many Christians drift from God and don't seek the Lord like they need to is because they're not being led by the Word of God. How many times do we meet Christians that are weak in the faith? They don't know the word. They don't know how to resist the devil when he comes their way. They don't know how to handle temptation. Why? Well, right here. They're leaders. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew 15, if you want to turn over there. And it's amazing how it always comes back to the Word of God, but it does. We make a choice every day. Is the Word important to me? Am I going to be in it? Am I going to make it part of my life today? Am I going to go to church and hear the Word of God preached and taught so that it can work on my heart? We have those choices to make all the time. And notice Jesus says here in Matthew 15, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Whoever says God didn't have a sense of humor. That's Matthew 15:14. They shall both fall in the ditch. Well, it's true. You can't have a blind person leading a blind person. And yet, how many Christians go to church every Sunday and get nothing from the Word of God? Blind leaders of the blind. And so part of the problem, the leaders. Doesn't the Bible tell us in 2 Timothy 4, the time will come when they would not endure sound doctrine? We are in that time. Those end times when people don't want to hear the Word of God. They want their ears tickled. They want to be lifted up. They want to be encouraged. They want to be told, let's quit talking about sin. Let's quit talking about hell. Just everybody's wonderful. Everybody's good. Blah, blah, blah. And everybody walks out feeling good. Problem is, our feelings aren't reliable, and our feelings have nothing to do with our spirituality and how close we are to God. Their leaders cause them to err. And you know, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 12, the Bible, one of the rebukes that God had, and we actually looked at this in our Sunday school class this morning, was that the pastors of Israel weren't teaching them the Word of God. Notice Jeremiah 12:10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Neither do they seek the Lord. Go back to our passage, if you would. What happens when God's people don't seek the Lord, when the chastisement comes? And it will. Look what happens, verse 17. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. What is the end result? Our behavior. It's always the way it works. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? So if our hearts aren't right with God, if we're not seeking God, our behavior is not going to be right. We can try our best to put on a show, but in the end, the true us is going to come out if we're not seeking God. And that's what happened with Israel. They're hypocrites, they're evildoers, and their mouths were speaking folly. Look at Jeremiah 5, if you would, in verse 1. Very sad verse, but so applicable even to today. But look at Jeremiah 5:1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. That seeketh the truth. God speaking to Israel saying, go ahead, check the whole city. Look for just one man that's seeking the truth. But don't you think he looks down and looks at Christianity, quote unquote, and says, where are those that are seeking the truth? Where are those that are seeking God? There's a lot that are seeking for their own selfish motives, various things, but where are those that are seeking God? And that's what we're talking about tonight. Seeking God. Go to 2 Timothy, if you would. And again, talking about the end times, which we are in, and bringing this home to us. God, when He prophesied what the end times would be like, showed us, 2 Timothy chapter 3 to start with, that this would be the problem. Man would not seek God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. In other words, not seeking God. Then in chapter 4, same book, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. 2 Timothy 4, 1, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Neither do they seek the Lord. So it's 2,500 years later, it's still true. Neither do they seek the Lord. So as God prods us through whatever means, and the best means is when we're on our knees in our prayer closet every morning and God speaks to us through His Word and says, seek me more fervently, we should listen to that. But then as we don't and we begin to drift and God begins to bring chastisement into our lives, God is saying, seek me. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? It's just going to get worse. And that's what happened with Israel. I mean, here they were started by God. He chose them. He blessed them. He protected them. He led them. He gave them a great king and David. And look what happened. They stopped seeking the Lord. They drifted away from the Lord. And we see the end result. God says, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's the answer. We should be seeking for God with all of our hearts. And we can find Him. You know, you could say there are people in the world that would have a hard time finding Him because they don't have the Word. And they end up, a lot of them, worshiping false gods or whatever. They find something because God gave us a conscience that tells us there's a God. But praise God, we don't have that problem. We've got it right here. We know where to find God. Go to His Word. Learn more, like we talked this morning. What should we be glorying in? That we know God, that we understand His ways, that we are trusting the Lord, that we're seeking. Neither did they seek the Lord, and the end result was lots and lots of chastisement to the point that God continued to say, neither was His anger turned away. We don't need to get there. We're His children. We love Him. Let's seek Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your